Are you wanting to dive into that home repair, but just don't know where to begin? Let the Rosie on the House Show go to work for you. Get on the line now at 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
Oh yeah, bringing it back here at Rosie on the House. This morning's topic in the 9 o'clock hour is open hour, whatever you'd like to talk about. Crawfishing at Bartlett Lake included on the topic list, I guess. As well, the article we have in the Arizona Republic this morning about why Arizona homes aren't like homes anywhere else. We talked a little bit about why we don't have basements here in Arizona. You know, the other thing that's different about Arizona homes is how young our homes really are. In 10 days, I've got to run back and go spend some time with a remodeler in Cabin John, Maryland, which is just at the Beltway of Washington, D.C. And they do a lot of remodeling on homes that are over 150 years old. I've been remodeling here in Arizona since the late 70s. And at one time, a few years ago, I tried to estimate the average age of the homes I've worked on. Now, there was one project we worked on that dated back to the early 1900s, which was an adobe project that we converted from a hotel to condominiums. If I take that one project
out,
that in Paradise Valley, if we take that one property out, because it skews the data so far, the average age of homes I've remodeled is 18 years old. And these guys on the East Coast, I have Tom Mitchell, Mitchell Remodeling in Boston. He regularly is working on homes that are over 200 years old. Absolutely incredible. It's one of the things that are different about the homes here in Arizona. They, on the great majority, are fairly young and fairly new. You know, another way Arizona homes are different is a lot of the homes here have very low pitch or flat roofs. Now, we imitated the Taos Indians in creating that southwestern look. But you know what? They never had to go to the office. They could just stay home all day and work on their flat roofs. I don't know why we have propagated this look of flat roofs. You don't see it anywhere else in the country. And low-pitch roofs, you don't see. Up there through the Midwest, you see them in the ranch style a little bit. But a home with a roof, sloped roof, and an attic space is so much more functional, so much easier to maintain, and so much longer living.
And if you're trying to retrofit something, you've got room to run wires.
You got a little room
for the house to the other, or
that's right,
a gas line if you're putting in a new appliance, or you're rerunning some water lines from an underground slab leak. It's much easier to do some retrofit. It's a handsome look for the Southwest. It's the look that distinguishes us, but there's a very wrong way to do it.
Oh boy, and I tell you what,
That's costly.
With that parapeted flat roof, I don't know why you wouldn't roof. They all need to be in foam as far as I'm concerned. I mean, we've tried four or five different products. More than that, we've tried 20 different products on flat roofs over the 40 years I've been involved, and nothing seals them up and makes them as maintenance-free as foam. So that's my opinion. So homes in Arizona don't have basements. Homes in Arizona are young. Homes in Arizona tend to have very low pitch or flat roofs. Homes in Arizona don't tend to have gutters and downspouts, which goes back to my thesis that the great majority of the problems we have with Arizona homes is the fact that we ignore the water moisture problem in Arizona.
Well, and to a builder standpoint, it's what the homeowner wants to buy. Do they want to buy something with Formica countertops and gutters? Or should they forget about the gutters and play off, you know, like, it's not a problem, and spend extra money on granite countertops? You know, the money sellers, or the real estate market demand.
The supply side of construction. I would say that would be a big part of the conversation now, but initially I'm going to tell you it's the builders that came out of the Midwest saying, I'm going to move to Arizona to a drier climate for my health, my wife's health, my kids' health. And since we don't have any rain here, I'm going to ignore the gutters. Leads to problems later down the road. We've asked people to call in.
And a very expensive problem.
Yeah. We've asked people to call in. They're calling in. They're lining up. Let's get to them, and then we'll get back to the topic at hand. If you'd like to get in with a question on your project, give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348. Let's bring Kevin into the conversation. He's actually talking about one of the things that differentiates the Arizona home right now. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, morning, Rosie. How you guys doing?
Super fantabulous.
Hey, Rosie, I've been designing houses here in Arizona for about 15, 20 years now. I've been here for almost 30. But one of the things I tell my clients is that when they ask about basements, that you're right. Most basements are done in other areas of the country. I grew up in Kansas. Almost every home had one.
Yeah.
The advantage here to a basement is if you do what I would call a daylight basement, go down about 6 feet, do a 9-foot ceiling. You don't want that closed in 8-foot ceiling. Do a 9-foot ceiling in there. You can get some nice windows in there, and it doesn't feel so confined. It's also fairly inexpensive compared to the overall cost, and down the road, they love it. You use a nice insulated concrete form to pour the concrete walls. You get it insulated. You waterproof it, and that's a very usable space here in Arizona.
You know what, Kevin? Our next home will have a good-sized basement to it. I'm watching very carefully all these geothermal applications that now apply to. How about a closed-system geothermal loop between underneath your basement floor that loops onto your first floor poured concrete slab, and you're bringing 70-degree material into your main living room floor. What's that going to do to offset your air conditioning load?
And here's the other thing about that, Rosie. I've looked at geothermal systems. There was a couple guys here I was associated with years ago that wanted to do no AC or heating on the house. The problem is they couldn't get anybody to buy it because nobody believes you. And they weren't going deep geothermal. They were putting it out in the yard, like a lateral system.
Yes.
The problem is it's so hot here, that ground is going to warm up. But if you use that to augment your system, and then when the air got, say it started coming through at 80 or 85, 90, then you're hitting your air conditioner with it. It's going to reduce your cost so greatly. And when you lay that in during the build, it makes it so much more inexpensive than trying to retrofit afterwards.
Oh, yeah. And when you're down, the lateral systems do have their challenges because you need to get, as I understand it, in a primary soil composition of Arizona, you need to be something in excess of 8 to 10 feet deep. At that point, it is a constant 70-some temperature, and that's when you're introducing heat to it because you're extracting heat from your main living floor, and you're introducing it there. So you have to loop it enough for it to return down to that natural temperature from below. But I tell you what, it caught my eye, and I'd be curious to see if this is the people Kevin's talking about. But it was about 8 or 9 years ago, some folks came into Arizona, and they were going to actually loop the fluid through all the walls in the house, the inside walls, the ceilings, the floors, and every room was going to be zoned. And it was going to go down into a geothermal well that went 80 feet down in the ground, like a dry well that you dispose of your surface water. And they were going to put it on a closed loop and power it all with a 1/4 horsepower motor. They felt like they could keep a house in the middle of Arizona, in the middle of the desert, in Florence, in Coolidge, in Casa Grande, in Eloy, in Ajo, in the middle of the summer, 72 degrees without an air conditioner, simply with a 1/4 horsepower pump.
Which would be very easily hooked up to one single little solar panel. Now, you would still want your backup power for nighttime.
Yeah. And but like Kevin says, they could not get anyone to finance them. That no bank wanted to say, okay, I'm going to put a mortgage on that house that doesn't have an air conditioner?
Not yet. It's coming.
In Coolidge, Arizona? You think I'm nuts? So we've got to find somebody with the pockets deep enough to do that system, install the air conditioning systems just to get the mortgage on the property, And then let's see if we can truly operate free of air conditioning with a geothermal closed loop system zoned inside your house, all driven by a quarter horsepower motor, which derives the same amount of electricity as a 40 watt light bulb. So in the middle of the summer, you could be cooling your home for about $12 a month.
Which is just
cooling your home for $12 a month.
It would now change that's, everything.
I almost don't want to say the word. That's super cooling. And yeah, boy, did we get a lot of email on super cooling this week after a week of a 90-degree weather. Woo!
I tell you what, my biggest challenge, I've got a list of things I want my next house to have. And my biggest challenge is incorporating them all together without making it look like a Tim Burton nightmare. Rammed earth home, split face masonry, integral walls, dome type technology where the home is more of a circle, and it eliminates a lot of need for cooling wasted spaces like hallways,
yeah,
and a lot of extra walking space. So you put all these together and you start thinking about it and you're like, man, this is going to look kind of funny. So it's all up here, but
let's grab one more call here from Robert. I'd also like comments on basements. Good morning, Robert. Welcome to Rosie on the House.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, I heard you talking about water issues in basements.
Yes.
And it kind of struck a chord with me. I thought I'd call in. I'd actually built a basement home a few years back.
Nice.
And what you guys were talking about is exactly what I ran into. Is people think it doesn't rain out here. So, when we built the basement, they basically don't put on all the water protections
right
normally that you would do back east.
Right.
And, when I asked everybody, well, why don't you do that? Well, it just doesn't rain out here. And so I went ahead and put them in anyway, thinking that, if something happened, at least I'm protected. So long story short is the pool line, the water line to the pool broke at one time.
Oh, no.
Spilling, 20,000 gallons into the ground. Luckily, I had the French drain down in there and all the extra water protection because it didn't do anything. So,
oh, good.
Yeah.
That's why they put those in. It worked. Very good.
Well,
so when they say it doesn't rain, I mean, there's other things, too, you have to look at.
Well, we have had to deal with a lot of moisture-related problems on hillside homes similar to this. We have a good friend who lived in a home on Piestewa Peak, and he had recurring swimming pool leak problems that flooded his basement three different times that I know of. We had to go up and waterproof, hand excavate 8 foot down the entire length of this house, which was, I remember, it was you were on the job. It was 172 feet long. We had to hand excavate with 5 gallon buckets, 8 foot deep at the top of what was then called the John Gardner Tennis Ranch. It was the Dow family house, and the entire uphill side of that house leaked. We had to hand excavate it, you and Ace, by hand, and waterproof the entire thing. So, yes,
with basements. I still don't think we got paid enough for that job.
And with basements, you do need to waterproof. Robert is exactly correct. Don't ignore water in Arizona. More when we get back right after this with Jack, Mark, Kevin, and Chris.